Thank you, kids, for helping to lead us in worship today. And because they have led us in a reflection on the Word today, I'm not going to do a full-length sermon. Everyone sigh, all the kids sigh. But I did want to share just a short devotional reflection with us as we continue our journey to Advent. This Advent season, we have been working through a series titled, He Shall Be Called. And we're looking at all the different names of the Messiah that come to us in Isaiah 9:6. We've explored the way that Jesus fulfills the role of Wonderful Counselor. Last week, we looked at the title of Mighty God. And today, I wanted to share just a couple thoughts about how Jesus fulfills this role of Everlasting Father. You know, they say that our family of origin has a pretty significant impact on our life. And you perhaps have experienced this. Maybe you've had a moment where you said or did something that was a whole lot like what your parents used to do. You know, those things you swore you'd never do, and they just kind of come out of us, right? We're shaped by our family of origin. On the flip side of that, for those of us who have kids, you've maybe seen your own children begin to mimic and mirror some of the things that you've said and done. Now, many of you know that I have a rule with my kids. When I use them in a sermon, I get to veto it. They have to give me permission, and they get a dollar if I use it. So James was excited to make some extra Christmas cash this week, gave me the privilege of telling this story. It was about 4 years ago, and James came down to wake us up, and Julie and I were particularly tired this morning. We were kind of dragging, and he said, Mom and Dad, it's time to get up. Can you make us some breakfast? And we just kind of grunted and rolled over. And so he proceeded to try a different tactic, and he said, okay, Mom and Dad, I'm going to give you two choices. He said, either you get up and make me breakfast, or I'm going to climb onto the counter, I'm going to open the cupboard and eat a bag of chocolate chips. And now, this was one of those terrifying moments where I thought, my goodness, my child is he's learning my language, right? He's learning how to manipulate people. This isn't what I was hoping for, right? It's one of those moments where you realize that we have this role of forming our kids, and sometimes they take on our words and our actions. Here's the good news I want to proclaim to us today. In the coming of Christ, we are adopted into a new family of origin. In Christ, we have the opportunity to be formed and shaped by a different father figure in our lives. I want to read a short passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul writes these words, "For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." See, the scriptures let us know that we are have inherited the realities of Adam, and Adam and Eve, and with that comes some brokenness and some sin, and in that we sometimes struggle with the ways we have been formed by our human nature. But the scriptures liken Christ to be this second Adam, this new Adam, and because of that, we have the chance to be reborn into a new family, to be shaped into a new identity. I want to read just a short reflection from Charles Spurgeon as he comments on this text. He says this, "Generation makes us the children of Adam. Regeneration acknowledges us as the children of Christ. In our first birth, we come under the fatherhood of the fallen one. In our second birth, we enter into the fatherhood of the innocent and perfect one. Through our relation to Adam, we become corrupt and weak. But when we come under the dominion of the second Adam, we receive strength and quickening and an inward spiritual life." And Spurgeon goes on to talk about all the gifts we have, the inheritance we have as children, as sons and daughters of God. Today we reflect on this hope of Christ fulfilling this role of everlasting Father. Now in Isaiah 9, this is referring to a characteristic of a new king. These are royal titles. And what this tells us is that the Messiah, this new king, would not only be mighty, would not only be wise, would not only be able to organize a government that would be just, but would also have this tender fatherly role. The leaders of Israel were meant to be people that led with tenderness towards those on the margins, those who were weak, those who were in need. They were to enact as what Walter Brueggemann calls a pastoral justice, a justice for the weak with a tender pastoral shepherd heart. But here's the problem, friends. In the story of Scripture, these human leaders fell short of that call. In Ezekiel 34, God speaks out against the leaders of Israel and said, "You have neglected the poor. You've neglected those on the margins. You have been seeking your own self-interest. You have not gone in search of the vulnerable sheep who have been lost." And because of that, there is still this longing for someone to fulfill this role of everlasting Father. And I wonder if we look back on our own story, if we've had some experience where those in authority over us as leaders or as parents have left us longing for something different. We too carry the wounds of the imprint of Adam. Perhaps some of us have stories of neglect, stories of abandonment, stories of abuse, where we have that longing for that true, everlasting Father who would bring about that tender provision and justice in our lives and in our world. And here's the good news I want to proclaim to you, that in Christ we see the fulfillment of that longing. It says in 1 John that for those who received him, this word, and believed in his name, we were given the right to be called sons and daughters of God, children born not of natural descent or of a parent's will, but born of God. Friends, we are invited into this new family of origin. Now, it's a bit interesting because we see of Jesus as the Son, and now we have this language of the Father. We don't conflate this with God the Father in the Trinity, but we see that Christ helps fulfill this role of this everlasting Father. In Christ, we have the image of a Father who runs out to embrace us when we turn back to him. Like the prodigal son, when we have squandered our inheritance, where we have turned from Christ, when we turn back in humility, we have a Father who runs out and embraces us. He puts a cloak on our shoulders, he throws a party, and welcomes us with mercy and grace. That is our everlasting Father. We have a Father figure who, it says in 1 John, will not leave us as orphans, but will come to us to walk with us through the various trials and valleys that we face. And this, friends, is an everlasting Father, one who will be with us to the very end of the age. And so I bring good news to you today. And I suspect that this good news will meet us on a couple levels today. Perhaps this heartens those of us who carry some wounds from our own family. And to be sure, we may sometimes be tripped up by our family of origin, but the good news I want to proclaim to you is that that will not determine your fate, because we have the capacity to be shaped and formed by this new Father. Our future is open to new possibilities of who we can become. Perhaps this comes as good news to those of us as parents who feel the weight of our call to shepherd this next generation, perhaps feel the guilt of the ways we've passed on the imprint of Adam and Eve to our own kids. Here's the good news I proclaim to you today. Can we rest in the hope that we are not our children's savior, but that they too have an everlasting Father who seeks them out, who comes in search of the lost ones, who desires that they would turn and live, who wants to be with them through eternity? Can we rest in that hope today? Here's the invitation to all of us today. As ones who have an everlasting Father, it calls us to become again children of God. If you would enter the kingdom of God, Jesus says you must become like little children. In John 3, he speaks to a Pharisee named Nicodemus who thinks he has God all figured out. "We know who you are. You're a teacher." And Jesus says to him, "No, if you want to see and enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again." Must be born again. Now, somewhere along the lines in our culture, that metaphor of being born again has been twisted. Ironically, it has become to characterize a Pharisee, someone who has it all together, who knows the answers. Can we recover this metaphor this Christmas? To be born again is to take on the posture of a child. It is a humble image. It is to give up our adult pretensions that we have it all figured out. to humble ourselves, to rediscover wonder, to discover that there's more for us to learn, ways that we need to grow and mature and be formed. The call, friends, is for us to humble ourselves again before this everlasting Father, knowing that he is ready to welcome us, to form us, and to shape us. And when that happens, we too have the capacity to be formed as leaders, formed as parents who can enact that pastoral justice in a world of pain. We can be sent forth to those on the margins, those who are lost, those who are neglected, to bring good news to a world in darkness. Friends, let us receive this Christmas God as our everlasting Father. Would you join me in prayer, and I'll invite the worship team to come forward. Gracious God, we thank you for the many dimensions of the good news of your gospel. We thank you for this profound invitation to become sons and daughters of Christ and the promise and the hope that that points to. May we be shaped into your image and your likeness, that we too might become a light in this dark world. We pray in your name. Amen.